From NPR in Los Angeles, I'm Tavis Smiley. Here in Southern California, we've seen a resurgence of gang activity in the last year that's pulling a new generation of young people into lives of violence. While residents of L.A. and other big cities may be attuned to this threat, gangs are spreading outside their traditional territories. These days, folks in smaller cities, suburbs, and even rural America need to be more vigilant about whether the kids in their neighborhood are vulnerable to gangs. Joining me now to discuss the toll that gangs take on young people and what communities and parents can do to stop it is Father Greg Boyle. Father Boyle is the director of Jobs for a Future and Homeboy Industries, Los Angeles programs aimed at keeping at-risk youth away from gangs. Also with us today is Lisa Taylor Austin, an expert on gang activity and a counselor for gang-involved young people. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here.
Glad to have you both. First to you, Father Boyle. What do you see as the underlying factors that have led to this new round of gang activity here in Los Angeles?
Any community has to do three things in order to address gang violence, and that's prevention, keep kids out of gangs, intervention, which is what we do, where you try to redirect the lives of gang members who want something else for themselves, and then the enforcement piece. And I think what's particularly historically out of whack here in L.A. is the fact that I think LAPD is kind of in a state of crisis. I think most people would agree. And so there's a decided lack of vigilance, and that, at least in my community, has led to the kinds of deaths. I think I've buried 25 kids just this year. So I think particularly what's happening right now is that one vital piece is so out of whack as to leave the streets kind of free from the kind of vigilance that communities need to have.
Lisa, are there similar forces at play in other gang-affected areas in the country?
Yes, from my perspective, what's very important and what's needed is that the prevention, intervention, and suppression need to work together. So many times, agencies and different professionals are working independently, and they're not collaborating, you know, with others. And I think it's really vital that we all work together and that we involve gang members themselves in this process.
Where are the places, Lisa, that now have gang issues that would be most surprising to folk listening right now?
I think probably what would surprise most people is that gangs have really proliferated into places that we don't traditionally think of as having gangs. Places like Kansas, Arkansas, Virginia, Connecticut, and they've been very successful at recruiting young people in urban areas, suburban areas, but also rural areas. I have found that there's more similarities between inner city kids and rural kids than people would probably imagine. I think both populations really don't see their future as having a lot of options.
Father Boyle, Lisa just mentioned the reasons that so many kids get involved in gangs in the first place. What do you offer these young people to replace those things that they're looking for and cannot find?
Well, at this place, it's a center where we locate jobs. You know, we have nearly 1,000 gang members who come here a month from all over L.A. County, and we have free tattoo removal and counseling and the like. But we have five businesses where enemy gang members work side by side with each other. And gangs are really bastions of conditional love. And you really need to counteract that or replace that as an antidote, you know, communities of unconditional love. And so that's certainly part of what everybody who works in our homeboy industries experiences as sort of an answer to, you know, what they've encountered in their gang. And I think we need to be careful that the reasons kids give for joining gangs aren't necessarily the reasons why, in fact, they've joined a gang. Mm-hmm. A lot of times their own kind of sense of themselves doesn't allow for them to talk about the real issues that push them into a gang. I think the pull factor, which is to say the attraction factor, is not very significant. The push factor, what compels a kid to kind of leave the four walls of home that ought to hold them in and don't, that's really more compelling. And yet that's hard for kids to talk about, to say, I really left home and I gravitated perilously close to this gang and ultimately joined it because of the misery I encountered in my life. But they'll say things like, well, this is my second family and I have a sense of belonging and, you know, it gives me an opportunity to you know, get girls and money. And Well, that's the reason they'll give. I certainly don't trust it as the reason why, in fact, they join a gang.
Lisa, once a kid has crossed the line into gang activity and may have been involved in drug dealing or even a murder for that matter, how does one find his way back to a constructive life?
I think because I'm a counselor, obviously I believe that therapy is very important, be it individual therapy or group therapy. And there are some programs out there for gang-involved youth that do provide that. I think connecting with agencies such as Homeboy Industries and the work that Father Greg does is extremely important and very supportive. I think it's also important that people who have been involved in a gang and have found their way toward more positive goals that they're achieving reach out and kind of reach back to the community and help those that are still involved.
Let me ask this question to both of you as we close our conversation. Lisa, you first, and then Father Boyle, you. How does a parent or a community leader even know that a kid is involved in this sort of thing, and what can parents do to keep their children away from it?
I think that parents can take a look at, you know, are the friends changing? Is the manner of dress of their child changing? Are they only wearing certain colors? Are they refusing to wear other colors? Are they starting to engage in criminal activity and they weren't before? Are their children using terms and language that is foreign to them that they've never heard before? And those things don't indicate definitely gang involvement. However, I think those are red flags that parents need to take a look at and say, you know, what's going on here with my child? And I think it's important also that if parents don't have that relationship with their child, that they're able to talk with them openly about serious matters, that they seek the help of a trained professional who's able to do that.
Father Boyle?
Yeah, you know, you ask any kid in the housing projects where I'm privileged to work, you know, how did you not end up in a gang? And they'll all talk about having been pursued by their mom in most cases. And the ones who are pursued, you know, and sort of having parents who are somewhat vigilant and kind of chasing them down and saying, you know, no, I'm not going to let you hang out after this hour. And kids want to be pursued in that way by parents. They want the loving, caring adult who shows up and pays attention. They want to be protected and safe. I don't care how much they lament and cry and complain. Every kid wants that, and it's hard for parents in a community like mine where the economic stressors are really intense. So I just think, and more hands on deck, it really is the village that raises the child, so people need to show up in the lives of kids who are maybe gravitating perilously close to gangs.
Father Greg Boyle is the Director of Jobs for a Future and Homeboy Industries. He joined us via phone from his office in Los Angeles. And Lisa Taylor Austin is an expert on gang crime and gang culture. She joined us via phone from her home in Connecticut. Thanks to both of you for being on the program. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.